pray together. Father God, thank you so much. God, we're just in awe. That's all we can say. I mean, I have a hard time moving on from what you're doing, but I just pray that you would use your word tonight and that you would use me. You use men and women to share your word, Father. You used a donkey, so I am sure I'm available tonight, Father. I pray that you would absolutely communicate your truth this very day to anyone who has ear to hear and a heart to understand what you would say tonight, Father, because your word is the perfect seed. Let it land in the right heart to produce the fruit that you promise and that you guarantee that we will get. And Father, we pray for our area of California that we're still experiencing fires. Lord, we are asking for mercy tonight. We're asking for mercy. And so we're asking for rain, that you would send rain to absolutely put out all the fires. And Lord, we pray for those that are first responders that are absolutely been working for I don't know how many hours, for how many days, but we pray for them that you would strengthen them tonight, that you would protect them. No loss of life. Lord, we're asking that you would preserve life in every area possible tonight, Lord God, as these fires continue from time to time to spread out. And God, if it's produced by evil people, you absolutely stop them right now. That any demonic operation of evil people wanting to destroy, we come against that garbage in Jesus' name. We ask no more, no more, Father. And so we pray for mercy for our state as you would do that tonight, that people will look to you this very day, Lord. Thank you so much for your word and lead us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say amen. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, and we'll bounce around a few verses, but we're going to remain in somewhat in that area that is going to speak to you in this day. And so today, I just want to share something that God dropped into my heart. I was going a different direction, and you know, all preachers do that. We're going a direction, we get to prayer, we hear, and then God speaks to us, and we change. So I absolutely had to pivot where I was heading, but I believe God wants to speak to us through this word today. And this is blessings is the power to change your circumstances. Blessings is the power to change your circumstances. I'll repeat that once again. Blessings is the power to change your circumstances. A blessing is a powerful thing. A blessing is something that comes our way. I think all of society, most societies have a way of blessing somebody, have a rite of passage, have a way where parents or older siblings come and bring a blessing and bestow upon them. Many cultures revere older people and believe there's a blessing. As a matter of fact, I've shared the story with you guys. When we went to Bangladesh last year with Dr. Kobanik, they had the Asian cultures have such an admiration for persons who are older, and he was an absolute rock star idol. Everywhere he went, they were bringing kids to him so he can bless them. It was awesome to see, actually, because there was such a respect for that, and I love that. I thought that was very interesting. I'm still in uncle status, so nobody's wanting prayer from me yet, even though I have gray hair. But it was just very interesting just to see that adornment of, hey, I can receive a blessing, and I can hand out a blessing. What happens a lot of times is that we have perceived a blessing, especially the blessing of God, sort of in limited supply. And it's very interesting because we're going to see a story today that's going to tell us why people think the way that they think in terms of a blessing. If you've been to this church in any number of years, you know that our definition of blessing is the power to succeed. The power to succeed. So that blessing that comes to us is the power to succeed. But I want to see a different angle of that same power and that same blessing today. And if I can describe it in any way, I can describe it in this way. It is in the form of a pie. Now, pi are very interesting as in mathematical. If you've done any sort of math work, you know that they have a pie chart, and so they split and explains, and I love that. In my culture, pie was not a common thing. If anything, I've never seen a pie until I came to the States. We're more of a cake kind of culture, and I've always loved cake. Tres leches is my favorite cake, and so I grew up eating all that stuff, and so I love it. But when I came to the States, they introduced me to pie, and it was interesting. I've had some, I went to the South, had some friends in the South. I had key lime. I had banana cream pie in Virginia one time. It was delicious, you know, but pie's just not my thing. Except there's one pie that takes all my money, and it is Costco pumpkin pie. I will pay anything for that thing. I don't know what kind of crack they put in it, but there's something in it. So it's very interesting. So when you go to Thanksgiving, when you're at dinner, when you're at these parties, you start seeing all of a sudden when people start cutting the pie and handing it out, what happens is you start seeing the pieces. Usually that first piece is kind of large because people are trying to measure. So you see that first piece go out, and then you see the piece kind of changing size, and then you start seeing how much is left on the pie, and then you start counting how many people are left around, and you don't have your pie, there's tension in the room. right? And so people kind of go through this psychology or psychosis because the pie's being handed out, the portions are getting smaller, and I haven't reached my portion. And here's how we look at it. The larger the portion that person gets, the smaller the portion I get. So we approach God and God's blessing with the same idea. We treat God's blessing as if he is handing his blessing from a pie. And the larger the blessing someone else got, somehow that makes it seem as if mine is going to be smaller because God has a limited blessing pie. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there's no reason for us to think that way. Because God is actually the baker, and he can make more pie. He can make as many pies as he wants, and he can dish them out whichever size can be handed out. And so you and I have to live with a different mindset so we don't end up doing what happened to these two brothers. These two brothers are basically the grandkids of Abraham, the man who received, the father of faith, who received this amazing blessing because of his obedience. And you can find it in Genesis chapter 12 and so on. And so this blessing comes upon him because he was an obedient man to the word of God and to his family and to his descendants. And so God said, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to do this amazing thing in your life. And so God bless him. So he goes on through generation in this process. We reach his grandkids, Esau and Jacob. And you know those two. If you don't know the story, basically Esau and Jacob are fighting since the moment they were born. Since the moment they're coming out of the womb, it is a fight because one kid feels left out in comparison to the other kid. One kid has the looks, has the body, has the strength, has dad's favor. The other one is kind of weak and frail and hangs out with mom and learns to cook. And so you see this societal and family divide. And so this one kid gets frustrated and says, my brother has the biggest piece of pie, and I'm not going to let him get away with it. So he designs a style of life where he starts to lie and cheat and go around areas in order to get a blessing to come his way. Now, we all know the story. We end of the story. God appreciated his faith and blessing for it. Now, he had to go through some big headaches because of his own problems that he brought on himself. And God pushed away Esau because of his disrespect. God, Esau wasn't in awe of what God has given him. And in blessing, that's really crucial, that we remain in awe of the things God has handed to us so that we can receive the blessing completely the way he has brought it to us. Are you with me today? So these guys get into it, and one time Jacob said, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way. So he goes to his brother and said, hey, his brother said, man, I've been working all day. I've been in the field. I've been hunting. Can you get me something to eat? Jacob said, yeah, I'll make you something to eat, because the guy can really cook. I mean, he was a really good cook. I'll make you something to eat, but you have to give me your birthright, meaning that whatever comes to the firstborn now comes to me. And the guy, because a lot of times we think that something that's spiritual does not affect the natural. And so we go, man, that's just some spiritual stuff. That's just some whatever. Yet it affects how we live and behave in our lives. And it is why not understanding the blessing of God in a manner that is sufficient for all of us leads people to some weird behaviors. So this guy says, give me your birthright. Esau, not understanding how powerful it is, the blessing of God upon his life, says, what am I doing? I do nothing with that. I can't buy anything with it. See, he diminishes. He's not in awe of what has happened in his life. And he diminishes and says, I'd rather have the food. You have the birthright. In his mind, he's exchanging something he needs now. Somebody's going to satisfy my hunger to something that I may need or want later, and I don't really care. And we have to be patient in order to see the blessing of God develop in our lives. Are you with me tonight? It's so important. It's so important that we do that. You can give God a praise for speaking to you tonight. So some time goes by. They keep Jacob just figuring out a way to, man, how I'm going to get that. Jacob's mom is starting to catch that God is doing something in Jacob. She doesn't say it that way, but she gets in cahoots with her son. And dad said, hey, I'm about to die. I'm getting close to dying. So why don't you make me, tells Esau, make me that good gamey food that you make, man. Would you go hunting? Kind of manly grunted stew, right? Hair on the beef and everything, right? Just leave it all there. Go make me some. Because I'm missing it, and I want to bless you, my boy. So, all right. So the guy, don't worry about it. That you don't have to say it twice. He's out of the door, man. He is hunting and says that his wife, Jacob's mom, gets a wind, says, hey, your dad is going to bless your brother, but I want him to bless you. So go do something. And so they work out a plan. She cooks for him because the lady knew what her husband liked. She cooks for him and says, I want you to do something. Dress like your brother. Try to smell like your brother. Go in there and get the blessing. The Bible says that Isaac was already kind of blind, so he couldn't distinguish, so he could just hear the voices. And so they figure out a way. They trick him. And so he stands his hands and blesses Jacob instead of Esau. And so we pick up this telenovela in this moment right here. And so it's absolutely crazy what's happening because Esau comes back, he cooks the meal, he leaves the hair on the beef, and he brings it to his dad. And when they're talking, look what happens. Verse 33 on the ESV says, then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it before you came? He's telling this to Esau. And I have blessed him. Yes, he shall be blessed. And all of this sudden, the gravity of the moment is dawning on Esau. What's going on? Verse 34, as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Esau is realizing the blessing, the pie that I considered that it was all mine, all of a sudden is taken away. So he's frustrated. Verse 35, but when he said, your brother came deceitfully and he has taken away your blessing, Esau said, is it he not rightly named Jacob? He has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, which he really didn't. Esau handed it out. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? In other words, dad, is the pie not big enough? And this is what happens when you and I just look at God's blessing as a pie, we can get a behavior. And I don't want you to get too theological. There's a lot of things here I can explain, but I want you to get a concept out of it. Verse 37, Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you and all of his brothers, and I have given to him for servants. I, with grain and wine, I have sustained him. And then he says, what then can I do for you, my son? So what is left for you? What's left of the pie? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing? Can you say that, those two words with me? One blessing. One, two, three. One blessing. This is really important. Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh my father. And Esau lifted his voice and wept. And the Bible says that Isaac went on and blessed Esau in a different manner. And just so you know, Esau did very well. He didn't inherit the blessing of God upon his life in the terms of a spiritual inheritance. That was Jacob, who later becomes Israel. But Esau was well-to-do. As a matter of fact, when they find each other, because Esau said, I'm going to kill this guy as soon as my dad dies. And Jacob found out, and his mom said, get away from here, go to your uncle's, get out of here. When he comes back from his uncle's, already married with his wife and a few children, when he comes over, says that Esau went up to meet him, and he brought a bunch of offerings to his brother, like, here's horses and this and that, trying to buy his favor. And his brother said, keep your stuff, man, I got plenty. What am I saying? God can always do something with someone else. But what I actually want is God's blessing for my life, not just any blessing. And what tends to happen is we get enamored with the pie, but not with the actual piece that God has delivered for me. So there's three ways I want you to look at it tonight of how we can develop this, because we have to understand what the blessing of God means. And it means, it's a definition I saw that I love, it means having God's approval and his goodwill directed towards people. The blessing of God is having God's approval and his goodwill directed towards people. So how does blessing change my circumstance? How am I going to transform the things that are happening in my life? How am I going to change my financial situation, my family situation? How do I transform that? How do I view it in the terms of God's pie of blessing? Number one is this: God has declared the blessing. In other words, God has baked plenty of pies. And you ought to know that. You ought to know that so you don't get frustrated when someone else's pie or piece of pie seems better. God, how come their house is bigger and I've been serving you? Look how small mine is. That's what we do. We grab the pieces of pie of blessing handed to us and we start comparing. And God is saying, they're both blessings. But I want you to see it that I've declared a blessing over your life. And this is important. A declaration of blessing is so powerful. In the Word of God, again, I'm going to do a little bit. I don't tend to do this a lot, but in this particular case, this blessing, this word is so powerful. In Hebrew, the word Baruch, some of you have heard Barak, and so Baruch means blessing, but it is a confession of blessing. In Greek, the word that is used is eulogia, which is the same word for eulogy. So we confess a blessing. We say, we declare a blessing over people. And God has already made a declaration of blessing that is not going to vanish. And you ought to know that. It's not going to vanish anywhere. It is absolutely there because he already said it. And what God says, he keeps and he performs. His word performs. Doesn't return void in any way possible. It simply does not. Genesis 1:28 is one of the first times we see this word set. And he said it after he created men. Adam and Eve created. It was so beautiful for him. It was the culmination of a perfect creation. And look what it says, Genesis 1:28. Then. Can you say then? Then. So I've made all these things and I have it ready for you. Once you're in the right environment, once you're in the place I'm supposed to get you, then God blesses them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth, and goes on declaring this blessing. But God blessed it. God bless it. God made a declaration and says, you're good. You have a purpose. You have a direction. And those words have been spoken from God to you. And you got to believe them. And this is so important for us to start believing that. Not just the thing that you think, no. Believe what God is declaring over your life. I have to do that over my own life. God, thank you so much. There's favor in my life. I know you're doing a work in my life. Even when I don't feel it. Because we tend to associate our emotions with something's happening. But God could be doing something in the spirit that has nothing to do with your emotion. Because the blessings of God are amazing. And there's many areas of blessing you see in the Bible. Material blessing. You see in the Bible blessings that we didn't deserve that come our way. Blessings that you didn't even ask for that God just bestowed on people. How about this one? Spiritual blessings. That's something we see more affected in the New Testament. We'll see tonight. So all those blessings come our way. I want you to look at one that is very popular, that is powerful. This is called the priestly blessing. And in number 6, God says, I want you to declare something. Tells Moses to tell Aaron over the people. Here's what God says about you and me. I love it. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying this. Speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Can you imagine? The Lord says, I want you to declare that over the people. It's one of the reasons why I love when I came to this church with Pastor Jim, and we still do it today. We declare a blessing over you. I want you to know something happens when we say that. I love my wife that she said, I take it so serious every time we say the Inland Empire shall be safe. I just believe that when we say, well, I don't want to say just because it's a cool slogan to say. So when we declare something, it's very important. It is why you don't look at your children and say, you'll do nothing in life. You're an idiot. You are never going to advance because you are declaring contrary to what the Lord says upon them. You may be upset at the moment. They might have done something stupid, but that does not make them stupid. That does not make them that their heritage is stupid because God is declaring something over their life. You might have screwed up at work, but I want you to know you are not a screw up. God is working something in your life. If you're children of the Lord, if you're children of God, he has declared blessing over you. He's saying, I'm putting my face is shining on your behalf. I'm doing something amazing. It's so powerful. So powerful. We all make mistakes. We're all going to screw up in some way or another. But I want you to know, you cannot become your mistake. And this is Jacob's life. And we don't have time to go into it because absolutely it's a fascinating story. But Jacob's life was undoing his mistakes in order to receive all the blessing God had for him. And he eventually did and became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel and became that person that absolutely brought out the people of God came from him. He started as a screw-up of somebody who thought, God is not going to bless me ever, and then realizes, God wants to bless you, but you got to fix some things right here. The pie is big enough for all of us, and you ought to know that. Verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Here's the second thing I want you to have in mind. Pastor, this is something that the blessing does for you. Are you ready? Blessing reframes my circumstances. Blessing reframes my circumstances. It is the blessing that helps me see life with a different lens. It is the blessing. It is the blessing that helps me see life from God's perspective and not mine. It is the blessing that allows me to see Esau, who devastated his life for not appreciating God, but then God being merciful to still bless him, and he did his life in his way, but then comes to Jacob, who was absolutely afraid, and blesses Jacob. It is having God's perspective in my situation. Absolutely changes everything, because God is always up to something in our lives, and you ought to know that. You ought to know that there's favor coming your way, that there's things happening to you that you probably didn't pray about. But because God wants to bless his children, bless them, he somehow opens the door to things you didn't even know. You can look at yourself and say, Pastor, you don't know what I did. I did some terrible things in my youth, and I walk around in fear sometimes. I want you to know, I want you to do something. Say, God, help me reframe what you're doing in my life. Because it changes absolutely everything. One of those situations is recently, there's many stories like this, but one that touched me a lot, and is the Williams family in the LA fires. They were part of the Eaton fire, and so in Altadena. And the Williams family were on the news. Again, there were several. There were some from the Palisades in a very similar area, but this is a beautiful family, and I believe they have 7 children, I think. If not, it's larger than that. It's a big family if you count all of them. They lived in 4 houses in the area. And so to them, this was all their investment. And so they leave, they have to evacuate, they come back, and all 4 houses of all their family members are burnt. All 4 houses. So for a lot of them, that was a life investment to buy a house in an area like that, and it's all gone. And it's absolutely because Crystal Williams, the mom, says this, it is a blessing that we've been able to stay together through this, because I don't know what I would do without them. Here's what she did. Said, we don't have a house, but I'm glad I have them. She reframed her entire life. And for us, man, I'm not saying it's going to be easy for them to rebuild. I'm not saying, but she absolutely reframed. As a matter of fact, I was watching one from Palisades, and this guy, they're asking him, and he said, hey, what happened to you? He said, hey, we lost some things, and yeah, I have some important things. It was obviously a wealthy person, and he said, we have this and that. And he said, but it's all material. And then he drops his, they were away from the camera, his daughter and wife. And he said, but I still have them. And he just started crying. And so it actually touched me because he reframed his life. He said, yeah, I had a lot of stuff, but I am so happy I have these 2 around me. Is reframing your blessing. See, I don't know what you're going through, but you have to find a pastor, I lost my job. Ask God, help me reframe this thing, because I don't know what to do. He will show you where the blessing is in the reframing. He will show you how to create that in some ways. And here's how he does it. Here's how he does it. And so it's so important, because in our family plan, God gave me a word for my family this year. Pastor introduced us to strength. I said, you know, we're going to get stronger in the Word of God. That was the word for my family. So every month we're going to study something different from the Word of God. This month, I just prayed in the beginning of the year when we started the fast. Lord, what do you want as a family to do? And so we said, okay, we're going to read Psalm 1 in Matthew 5. I had no idea I was going to preach this. I had no idea. And so I said, guys, everybody, study on your own, and at the end of the month, we'll get together and kind of share what the Lord has spoken to us through the month, memorize it, and so that's what we're doing as a family. And so every month, we'll do something different. But it was so crazy when I started studying this, because it is the blessing of God, of how God reframes it. And he uses two words. I put it on the screen because these words are so important. And these 2 words are so amazing. Makarios is the word in Greek, and ashrei is the word in Hebrew. These are also 2 different words for blessing. See, Baruch means God says a blessing, but Ashrei means I want to show you what a blessing looks like. and it blew me away. That God will be so wise to say, there's two ways to see your blessing. One, I send one your way. Two, you have to be able to see it. And this is what he does in Psalm 1 and in Matthew 5. And Psalm 1 says this, in Matthew 5, let's start with Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Ashrei is the man. In other words, I am going to show you what a blessed man looks like, what a blessed woman, what a blessed person. Look at this. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scornful. That is a ashrei. That is a blessing over a person. Verse 2, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. Look at this, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Man. Ashrei, blessed. And so the writer of the psalm is saying, I want you to see a blessing manifested. I just don't want you to see the confession of the blessing. Yeah, that's a barak, the blessing. But I want you to see it. And Jesus then brings Jesus and reframes that. In Matthew 5, he brings a complete different change of what a blessing should be. Because right now, everyone has an understanding that a blessing should look a certain way. And we can sometimes quantify the blessing and make it all about the economical. It's part of it. But when it comes to the New Testament, the spiritual blessing is greater than the actual economical blessings. It comes with it, but it begins in the spiritual. Are you with me today? And so he comes in Matthew 5 and something you know as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. And instead of using eulogia, which is the word for blessing, he decides to use a word similar to Aramaic, and he calls it makaios. And so he said, blessed, makaios are the poor in spirit. What happens is many times we read this and says, oh, God wants me to be poor in spirit because I'll be blessed. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you are poor in spirit, if you have an issue, I want to tell you what your blessing will be. And your blessing will be that the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. A complete different point of view. He reframes the blessing. And he said, if you feel far from God, but you're in pursuit of him, I want to tell you something. There's a blessing coming your way. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Here's the next verse. Verse 4, he goes on, we won't see all the verses. Verse 4, if you put it for me. And he talks about, he says, blessed are those who mourn. When I read that all my life, I thought, oh man, I'm so sad. This is a blessing. To be sad is a blessing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, Ashrei. He's saying, Makaros, I want you to get something. That if you are mourning, there's a blessing for you. Here's a blessing, that you shall be comforted. Comfort is coming your way because you're broken today. I have a blessing for you also. I'm going to reframe it for you. So Jesus takes the time to reframe, to say, blessing looks different than what you've been used to. I want to frame it in a different manner. I got one more. There's so many there you can read at home. Number 5, it says, blessed are the meek. Oh, what? See, in society, strength, power. And he's saying, when you're humble, when you're meek, when there's strength under control in your life, here's your blessing. You shall inherit the earth. You know what the Lord just told you? If your strength is under control and you're submitted to me, you won't have to fight for territory. I am giving it to you. I am giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. What tends to happen is we tend to claw. Some things we have to fight for in the spirit, but some things we just say, God, I'm going to be submitted to you, and you're going to open the door. You're going to give me that job. You're going to give me that favor. You're going to give me that client. You're going to be healthy to my life, healthy to my marriage, health to my children. You're going to do that because I'm going to remain submitted. You're going to show the people. You're going to ashrei the people the blessing that are upon my life. Completely different. Here's number 3 and last one for tonight. Here's number 3. Pastor, how do I get that? The blessing is by faith. The blessing is by faith. There's no other way to find the blessing. The blessing is not because you know the right people. Sometimes we tend to do that because I know so-and-so, that's important. That open door might be a blessing into your life, but the blessing is by faith. The blessing is by believing that God is operating on your behalf. And then he'll send those people. And then he'll give you the opportunities. And then he'll open the doors. And then he'll show you what to do because the blessing first comes by faith. And that comes because the father of our faith, Abraham, the man who received that powerful blessing in Genesis 12, he was a man who believed every word of God. And God said, because you've done the things that I'm telling you to do, man, I am going to bless you greatly. And he did it by faith. But all those spiritual blessings come to us by faith. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 1, if I'm not mistaken, says that we receive those blessings. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessing. Yes, Ephesians 1, 3, we have received all spiritual blessing. We have been blessed with all of it. But I want to end these words in Galatians 3, 14. In the New Living Translation, talking about Abraham, look at this. Through Christ Jesus. Through who, church? Christ Jesus. He's already established. It is through Christ. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, meaning you and me. Unless you're a Jew here, we're all Gentiles. God has blessed the Gentiles with the same... No, that cannot be. God cut from a different pie. Nah, that pie was from Vons, not Costco. Sorry, Vons. God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing, the same promises, the same Baruch, the same Asher, the same blessing that he gave to his people, he's given it to you as the promise, as he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through what, church?
Faith.
Through faith. Through faith. Through believing that God is up to something in my life and that I can get the blessing that he promises because I have believed him. I don't know where you're from. I don't know your background. Here's what I do know, that if you're in Christ, through faith, you have every blessing given to Abraham handed over to you in all spiritual blessing and manner coming your way. All of it. All of it. Because blessing has the power to change my circumstances. Blessing has the power to allow me to view situation that's difficult and say, God, I know you can move in this. I know you can manifest yourself in this. I know you can do something in this moment. And I want to encourage you tonight that you start doing that. Not only that you believe in the declaration of blessing of God, but that you start reframing whatever you're going through and believing the blessing that will come your way. Because when we do that, then all of a sudden, by faith, those things are going to start happening in our way. And God is up to something in every area of our life. Here's what I would say to end tonight. The pie is big enough for all who believe. The pie is big enough for all who believe. And tonight, you don't have to be jealous of the piece of pie that was given to someone else in your family, in your church, in every area. All you have to believe is that there's one piece for you, and that piece is the blessing of God assigned to you for every day of your life, from this moment and unto eternity. God is dishing out his goods on your behalf. And if you believe it, you can receive it tonight. Can you say amen tonight? Thank you, Lord. Tonight, I just want to encourage you. Will we pray together? Right where you're at, just telling God, what's going on in my life? Have I been looking at someone else's blessing and not appreciating mine? Maybe you did the Esau thing. You discarded. You thought, no, I need someone else's pie. God says, I got one for you. Would you believe me? How about this? Maybe you need to reframe what's happening in your life. Instead of being in depression, frustration, and down and out, which we've all been at some point in our life, you start saying, you know what, God? Show me the blessing in what's happening right now. Show me what you're about to do. Show me the beatitudes of my life. Where are they? What are they? And let him show it to you. Maybe you know these things, but you have not been in faith. You have believed the opposite. You're thinking, I don't know if I can believe that. Because, Pastor, you know what I've done. You know what I've been. You don't know my background. All these things have pushed you away from having faith that God is actually working on your behalf. And so tonight I want to invite you to absolutely refocus and focus on what God is doing. Right there, just ask him, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just show me how to capture your blessing in every area of my life. Show me how to grab that power to change my circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I pray for every one of us tonight that we would absolutely remain in awe of you, Lord, and that we will not behave in a manner that is not as a child of God, knowing that we have a good Father who has a portioned out pie just for us. God, in faith, we receive it tonight. And we say thank you that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings by Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give God a praise tonight? He spoke to you. Pastor Dan.
Wow, that was so good. Anybody blessed tonight? I know I am. Man, I think that was Pastor Jessica's favorite message because she's not a cake person. She loves pie, so she's double blessed tonight. Praise the Lord. Hey, you are a blessed church. You are a blessed people, and we're so grateful for you guys. This is a great church. Anybody know that about this church? This is a great church. Big hearts. And you guys are a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. Just this past week, we sent aid and relief to Los Angeles to help churches that are helping people in need. And I want you just to check out the overhead screens to see what you guys have been up to this past week here in our part, in our neighborhood, reaching out to people who are broken, who are hurting, who have lost everything. This is what you guys did just this past week. Direct your attention to the overhead screens.
And going through the area with their announcements on urging everyone to evacuate immediately, warning of the danger, and this truly came up so quickly. So many folks up here really didn't even have time to grab anything.
Rock family, Pastor Brian out here in LA, and we are so excited that we got to team up with Oasis Church and Fearless Church out here in LA and bless all those who are impacted by the fires. As you can see, we brought our 53-foot trailer completely full, 28 pallets of food and drink, so that we can get back into the community and help those who have had a lot of loss. So thank you, Rock family, for all you do. God bless you guys.
Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Aren't you glad? So glad to be a part of that. And this week we're getting ready to distribute the funds that were donated as well. And so we just want to say thank you, Rock family, for your generous hearts and for all that you do. Because of what you do, we together as a church can do things like send our truck and a trailer full of goods out. And it's just amazing what God does. That's just a small piece of what God does here at The Rock, as well as all the other outreaches, convalescent hospital ministries, prison ministries. We're out there in the streets. We're reaching out to people. Just next month, we're about 1 month away from the International School of Ministry regional conference. People are coming from all over the world. Some of the people that Dr. Paul met in Bangladesh are going to be here, and we're going to serve them. We're going to love them, build up, and encourage missionaries, as well as have a day for pastors. And it's a great church, and we're investing in the kingdom of God every time we bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse of God. Tonight, if you're in need of an envelope, you can buy cash or credit card. The ushers have one available for you to give. And you can fill out the details on the inside all the way. If you're giving by check, make it out to The Rock Church. And if your information is correct on your check, you don't need the envelope. You can just drop that in. And then as well, we have all the different digital ways to give up on the overhead screens. And you can see that. Scan the QR code, tap to give, text to give, all that good stuff. I do want to point out, we are now in the 3.3s on the mortgage balance. And so thank you guys for continuing to get towards that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we've seen that coming down. And we're going to soon be in the 3.2s. And so just a couple of months here, and then we'll be back. Just coming down. I'm waiting for that $2 million mark, and I'm waiting for the big zero, the big donut, right? We're excited for that most of all, so God's going to do that. Let's pray as we prepare our hearts to give. You can keep filling out your offering envelopes, your checks, anything that you need to do. Keep doing that. Text to give, whatever you're doing. Father, we so thank you tonight, God, that we get to be a part of such a wonderful house. Thank you for this great people who have compassionate hearts, God, and who have a desire to see the gospel go forth to the nations, both in preaching, but also, God, in practice. Lord, thank you for everybody who got served and encouraged through our efforts, God, as well through these churches that we partnered with. Lord, we continue to bless the people of Los Angeles and those in need. God, we continue to bless our area, Lord, and there's great need here as well. And so we thank you, Father God, that you planted this church as an answer to bring Jesus Christ and the light of the gospel, like I said, both in preaching and in practice, to the people that you want to reach, that you want to serve, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we get to partner with you in faith, partner with you in our gifts, God. And that, Lord, we don't have to worry or wonder about our needs being taken care of. God, you will supply. It's in Jesus' name we pray in agreement. Everybody said, amen, amen. All right, the ushers are going to stand and receive the honoring of the Lord. As they do that, I got some quick announcements for you guys. Anger management is starting soon, Tuesday, January 28th, 7 p.m., room 108. It's an 11-week course designed to help you address the triggers of uncontrolled anger in everyday life. So you can sign up with a QR code. It is one that if you have a court order for that, you can definitely use this. Or it'll just help you to be encouraged if you deal with anger issues, and it'll give you the tools that you need. Also, Rock Church Missions. If you're interested in being part of what God is doing in Thailand, Vietnam, or Mexico in the coming year, please sign up. The last day to sign up will be February 2nd. And so if you've been thinking about doing world missions, listen, short-term missions changed my life and it framed my Christian worldview. And I would encourage everyone who has the desire to go, because it is going to bless you. Yes, it's a blessing to the nations. Yes, it's a blessing to those organizations that we partner up with. But my goodness, your life will be changed. And it's just an amazing thing. So pray about it and go online or scan the QR code, get the information and be a part of that. And then as well this weekend, prayer for the Holy Spirit. Live boldly for God. Experience the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You can meet us in the chapel after every morning service this weekend. And this is a part of every believer's life. We get saved, but there's another experience that we can participate in, and that's the baptism, or the infilling, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit. And this is just a submersion in God, in his gifts, in his power, in his love. And I would encourage everybody that's a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be prayed for, and that'll be after every morning service this weekend. That's all I've got for verbal announcements, but we've got a couple quick videos, and then Pastor Paul will be right back.
Come join us at our Volunteer Expo and experience the joy of connecting with various ministries. Together, let's build God's kingdom by serving and loving others. Your presence makes a difference. If you stay faithful, if you stay pure, if you stay humble, if you stay righteous and holy, God sees you. He will bring the favor of God upon you, and people will be attracted to that. They'll either be jealous of it or they will want it. And they will say, what are you doing? And you can say, oh, all I'm doing is serving this amazing God who absolutely loves you, and you can serve him too. And you can begin to witness and be a light in a very dark, dark world.
Nice.
Get ready, because the men's breakfast is back. Come fellowship with us on February 1st at 7:30 a.m. in the Youth Auditorium with a powerful message from the men's teaching team. Breakfast is only $15. So join us and start the new year out right.
I did not read through Planning Center. This is just our program. We organize service. But hey, that ladies, that's Friday. That's this Friday, Women Rock PM, first one of the year. You do not want to miss it. So be here. And guys, let's get ready for our first breakfast. I think God's going to speak to you. It's going to be amazing. Just sharing again. Just coming together. Small groups are about to start. I mean, the year is starting. Remember the word strong. I mean, there's everything. So get in touch. Get connected. Don't act. Don't do life completely separate. God's going to bless you. Before we go out, make sure that your heart is right with God. And we can talk about blessing. We can talk about the things that God has for you and wants for you. But there's one condition that's really, really important that a lot of time people don't talk about. And it is the condition of your soul. All these things that God bestows upon his children. And what a lot of times people tend to say is that all humanity are God's children. And in a philosophical way, yes, that could be true in terms of we are creation of his. But in a true manner of following the way he says, there's a next step you got to take. And it's a step that has to do with your heart. Here's what people believe. Pastor, if I die, I go to heaven. There's this beautiful place because God loves good people. And so because I'm good and decent, I go into heaven with him. But that's not the thing. The Bible says none of that. None of that. And so these are things, constructs that we've come up with in society. We say, oh, heaven is a blessing for those who do good. But if you can do good and earn salvation, then why would God send his only son to die on a cross for you and me? He did it because we need him. And we need him in order to be saved for salvation and eternity. And because you and I have an issue, I'm sure you've heard this word. This word is called sin. And sin is something that keeps us away from God. And only Jesus, through his death, could eliminate the power of sin to keep you away from the blessing of salvation. And it's an absolute blessing, salvation. It's a favor of God that he has brought to you and me. And remember that last word? Through faith. And tonight I want to invite you to take a step of faith in saying, God, I want to follow you. I don't want to just assume that I'm a good person. I don't want to just assume that because I know some things about religion and some things about culture and because I grew up. I mean, I was born in a Christian nation, therefore we go to heaven. I don't want to assume anymore. I want to make sure. And tonight I want to make sure that you make that decision because that is what God would want for you. Here's what Jesus says. He says, not me, he says, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So for me to have the blessing of God, the connection of God, I got to do it through Jesus. And tonight, I want to give you that opportunity here and through the cameras if you're there at home and you need to make that prayer. Tonight is your night of salvation. In a moment, it's how we do it here at our church. I count to three. You hear my hands go like that, pop, and you will raise your hand right where you're at, indicating, Pastor, that's me. I need to do that prayer for salvation. Many of you are probably thinking, Pastor, you know what? Raising my hand seems embarrassing. People are going to know. The people I came with think I am a Christian, therefore I don't want to show them. I want you to wipe away all that thinking. And I want you to think about this. It is better to be embarrassed for a moment than to be lost for eternity away from God in hell. That's not what God wants. That's not even his desire. His desire and his blessing is that you be with him in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ. But it takes a bold move. And tonight, I want to ask you that bold move. That when you raise your hand, you're saying, that's me, Pastor. I need that. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done this prayer, if you never say yes to Jesus, committed to him for salvation, tonight is your night. Who's your raising hand? If you know God is speaking to you, while you're sitting right there, you know, that's for me. That's for me. I'm far from God, and I want to grow closer to God. How about this one? How about this one? If you know, and you did the prayer, Pastor, I pray that. But your life was completely opposite to what you said with your mouth. Tonight is your night of salvation. Say, you know what? I'm not going to play games anymore. I want to boldly declare that I am in need of God. I've already told you the truth of how to get the blessing he promised. It is your step to say, you know what? In faith, I'm doing that tonight. And in a moment, I count to three. I clap my hand. You raise your hand. I'll see your hand. You put it right back down. And then we'll pray together, inviting Jesus into your heart. Are you ready? I read that's you tonight. If you know God speaking to you, if I describe where you're at, tonight is your night. Ready? One, two, three. Is there anyone in this place? This is your moment of salvation. Point at me. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down so you don't get tired. That's awesome. Anyone else? The Bible says we're going after one. God bless you. I see you there, young man. Absolutely. God bless you. How awesome. So let them know. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But you have to be bold and say, I am in need of God. I am in need of God. This is your moment of salvation. And in a moment, I'll invite you and we'll pray together. But it begins with a step. A step I had to take, and many of us did at one point in our life. That's you. Tonight, it's your night of salvation. Ooh, thank you, Lord. This is your moment. Is there anyone else? Pastor, don't scratch your head or you end up in heaven too. I don't know. I can't count. Sometimes the lights don't let me see. But last call. One last call. That's you tonight. It'll be sad for you to put away God, knowing that he's speaking to you tonight. That's you, man. I'm not going to play games anymore with God. I'm going after God. I'll make one last sweep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's awesome. All right, let's give God a praise for those two beautiful hands. Come on. Here's what we're going to do in a moment. Because God is speaking to me, there's five more of you. So if that's other than those two, if you're one of those five, here's what I want you to do. In a moment, we're all going to stand. We'll all stand. If you raise your hand or didn't, but you know God's speaking to you, would you join me right here? I want to pray with you. Our team wants to pray with you to invite Jesus. Would you come? Bring a friend. Don't leave anything in your seat. Would you stand tonight and let's welcome them. Come on, give them a clap of faith. Our pastor is going to welcome you. Our team wants to welcome you and say, hey, I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you tonight. Even if you didn't raise your hand, if you know that God's speaking to you, bring a friend with you. Tell them, friend, come with me. Come with me, friend. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Good job. Good job, man. Good job. That's awesome. Even if you didn't raise your hand, good job. If you know God's speaking to you, just tell him, God, I'm coming after you. I need that. Good job, man. Awesome. This is your moment of salvation. This is your moment of salvation. You know, if you are one of those that tell him, hey, I'm coming. I'm coming after Christ. I'm coming after Christ. I'll give you 10 more seconds. You can make your way. It's not the movies. You're not going to disturb anybody. Just say, hey, I'm coming after Pastor. That's me. That's you, one of the five. That's awesome. Hey, you guys that are here tonight, you can come closer if you want. I know kind of lights you feel exposed, but don't be exposed. All of us at some point had to do this. We made the decision, and God draw you near. So tonight, we're all going to pray together. And if that's you, man, I just feel strongly to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. But I'm going to pray with them, and you make your way. You're going to repeat a prayer, and this prayer is not magical words. It's just the honesty of your heart. That's what the Bible says. Can we pray together? Repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But tonight, I give you my life so that you can become my Lord and my Savior, that you can lead my life from this day and until eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, that's awesome. Listen, give us 5 minutes of your time. Pastor Joel, one of our leaders, he wants to give you some information. Follow him. He'll pray with you, offer you a friend, because you need a friend to get strong in church. He'll go with you right there. Just go get that, and he'll give you all the information. The team will be with you. Come on. It's awesome. God is so good. You know, at the end of service, we always have our prayer teams, and you hear that announcement. If you are one of those five, I believe God's still calling, they'll pray with you. Just come forward when we dismiss in a moment. Just say, man, I didn't raise my hand, but I know I got to give my heart to the Lord. They'll pray with you for salvation. They'll wait for you at the steps tonight, because I believe God is giving you an opportunity, a window of opportunity for you to get your heart right and your life right with him. And if you prayed online at the end of the service, stayed online, you will receive information on how to get the same books and the same information that these tonight received also. God bless you. Can I bless you tonight? Can we pray together? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much. These are your children, and I bless them today from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. And we say with faith about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.